everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are very excited today to be here to talk about what I'm calling the first of the Thanksgiving week podcast recaps. And so this is the first and second movies to air on this sort of 10-day Thanksgiving extravaganza that we have going on. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and I'm joined today by very good friends of the podcast, have been on here a number of times. Ginny and Laura Sanders are here. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Hi, good to see you and good to talk to you again. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so we haven't had you on since July. And so why don't you tell us, how is your Halloween and then your early Christmas and all that stuff? How's that all going for you?
Fast. Yeah. I feel like we were on the podcast yesterday. I can't believe we're already to this part of the year myself.
I know. They've already had, I don't even know, what, 15 movies or something like that?
Yeah. And I think we've watched all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gone fast. I had a good holiday and it's really beautiful here in Oregon. You know, we have all of the Hallmark scenery naturally, but it's cruising by.
Yeah, are you going to have a big crowd over there for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Ginny hosts. Ginny is the host.
Right? Ah.
Got the best kitchen island. This is how we determine this thing.
We're sitting at it right now, let me tell you.
Yes, and she does turkey. I've managed to get out of that responsibility, but lots of sides.
Pretty much all I do. So.
What about you?
Well, so a lot of times my parents go out of town to visit one of my siblings that has kids for holidays, but this year they're staying here, so I'll just be going up to my parents. Last year I went to Chuck-O-Rama for Thanksgiving, and honestly, it was the greatest thing. It was great, because it's just like a buffet, people who don't know, here in Utah, and it was great. You got to pick whatever you want. It was tasty, and then you don't have to clean up or do anything.
Zero cleanup is very appealing.
Yeah, we are going to have including today when this airs, we are going to be having an interview and a recap almost every single day, which is maybe a little crazy, but you take advantage of the opportunities that come and cover the non-Hallmark and the Hallmark, and it's going to be plus the great interviews, and hope everybody got to listen to Alicia Witt interview. That was so exciting that posted, and so yeah, it's pretty fun. And we also posted on Saturday our interview with Paul Campbell, since we're talking about Holiday Hearts today. And that was really, really fun. It's our fourth time that I've gotten to interview Paul. And I really like when I get to do these multiple interviews, because you kind of get the normal stuff out of the way and you can just kind of talk about weird stuff. And I don't know, it's just a little more personality, I think, in those later interviews. And I enjoy that a lot. It's fun.
I just listened to that today driving. I had a little bit of a drive I had to go on. And so I listened. You guys were hilarious. Especially with the Halloween stuff. Funny. And your brother and his one maximum.
Right. Yeah, that's my brother with his one gift. Yeah, that was really fun. I'm glad you enjoyed it too. It was fun to record. So yeah, we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up in the podcast, and I wanted to do a little housekeeping. We got a email, feedback@hallmarkiespodcast.com, and we got an email from a woman named Kim, and she says, would it be possible to include the movies you are talking about in each episode? I like to watch the movies and then listen to the podcast. For some of the non-Hallmark podcasts, it's impossible to know what movies you're talking about without listening. And then I'm not listening to the episode when I would really like to. Thanks. And so this is a really great suggestion. And so that's something we're definitely going to do. Starting with this episode, we'll put in the notes, we'll try to do a timestamp, and then also the name of the movie, so that if you want to jump around, you can do that. So that's a great suggestion, and thank you very much. So please keep those emails coming. We really appreciate it. So there we go. so today we only have two movies that we're going to cover, but I wanted to ask you, you ladies, how do you feel like how do you feel like the season's been so far for Hallmark?
I've liked this season. it's surpassed my expectations, so that's always a good thing. Mm-hmm. And there have been a couple already that I've really enjoyed, and then I'm also looking forward to a few, so including the Alicia Witt one. I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, me too. I didn't get a chance to watch it yet, but what about you, Laura?
Yeah, I'm the same. You know, I really feel like last year, Christmas was maybe Winterfest kind of outshone Christmas movies, which I was surprised by pleasantly. But this year, Christmas has been strong, really everywhere, but especially on Hallmark. Lots of good ones, lots of ones I wasn't expecting to like as much as I did. And I haven't burned out yet, which is a good sign because it started really early.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, last year I felt like that Lifetime kind of beat the tar out of Hallmark. And this time I feel like it's the reverse. So, yeah. Do you have a favorite that you've seen so far?
What about you, Jen?
I think probably my favorite so far is, it's a tie for me between Picture Perfect Christmas, which is just, it was such a pleasant surprise. I wasn't really expecting much out of that one. And I really liked it. And I thought it had just really great chemistry for a Hallmark film.
Yeah.
And Right Before Christmas, just because I appreciated the format was so fresh for Hallmark. I did love Two Turtle Doves, but I tend to like the more like happy-go-lucky ones. And that one dealt very well, but with some deep topics.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Two Turtle Doves is my favorite, but I really liked The Mistletoe Secret. I thought it was funny. And
loved it.
Yeah.
Laura.
I liked it. Yes. I loved it. I loved it. Everything that I thought wouldn't work for it actually worked in its favor.
Yeah.
Kyler killed it. Yeah. He just killed it. The supporting characters did, and Kelly Pickler's brought a certain vibe to it that really worked for the character she had, the innocence and the joy about Christmas. And I laughed. It was one where I laughed so much that I'm going to remember it for sure. Yeah.
There were a lot of one-liners and just funny things. And I kind of thought the whole sort of Cyrano de Bergerac kind of element to it with Christopher Russell's character and him, Tyler. And I don't know, I thought that was actually pretty well done. And so I enjoyed it.
It was done in such a different way. It wasn't someone, you know, like whispering words into another person's ear.
Yes,
the way that he was really his ghostwriter, and that's the way he was communicating on his behalf, was like fresh and different.
Yeah, and real stakes, you know, and there were reasons why people liked Christmas, reasons, you know, it gave all of the feels in the right places that you're expecting from a film like that.
Yeah.
I did want some more Midway, Utah in there.
And I was like, I got to go to Midway.
Like, we're Swiss days.
Yeah, I've been slacking off.
Laura and I live in Oregon, but we both went to school in Utah, as you did, Rachel. And, you know, you go to Midway for Swiss days.
I guess so. I had no idea. It was so magical. So, all right. Well, very good. So the first movie that we're just going to talk about two movies in this episode. And the first one we're going to talk about is Holiday Hearts. This is on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, starring Ashley Williams and Paul Campbell. And the summary is, while planning an annual Christmas party, Peyton is forced together with Ben to care for a friend's daughter. As they find their Christmas spirit, will there be some romance along the way? I wonder.
Hallmark?
Yeah. Ginny, what was your overall thoughts about this movie?
Well, so I'm going to say the flip of the other one, but I had high expectations for this because I thought that Ashley and Paul were such a great match, and I still think that they're such a great match, and I'm just going to beg Hallmark to put them in another movie together because I think that they have good chemistry and their energy sort of matches each other. These are two people that you could almost see together in real life. I liked that. I loved both of their performances. The laugh out loud moment for me was when she says, I love you, on the phone. I think we've all been there. But outside of that, I felt like there were some issues with it that didn't sit well with me. You know, it happens in Hallmark movies a lot where someone is imploring, you know, like the main character kind of gets into the mess that they're in because they're doing a favor for a friend or a family member. I felt like the favors that were asked were too big in this movie. you can't ask someone to miss their important job interview in another country when there could be options for childcare within your town outside mm-hmm. of that person. And you similarly right. can't demand someone who's barely your friend to join with you in the effort, all the while patting them on the back, like, don't worry, you'll figure out your party nightmare sooner or later. I have confidence. I'm really interested in the matchmaking reindeer who matchmakes through car trouble. That was a new one for me. I just felt like there were some, the motivations for doing what they did and putting themselves in the positions that they did didn't always make sense to me, but overall the chemistry wore out.
Did the friend in the hospital, did he know that he was going to Honduras? Why he was going?
I think it was a surprise. I can't remember the details there, but I think he wasn't clear on all of the stakes involved there.
Yeah. So Laura, what was your overall thoughts on it? Do you agree?
I'm kind of the same. You know, there were a few elements as someone who says yes when I probably should say no a lot in my life. I'm a bit of a favor giver. It was a little hard to see a few scenes where people were trying to set boundaries and explain what was important to them. And other people were like, yeah, but this little girl loves Christmas. So that was hard. I had to pause there a little bit. Like, are they making the right choice? Are they prioritizing this? Is there nobody else in this town who can help? That said, it was really great. I had high expectations. Paul and Ashley are probably the most darling people in the Hallmark universe. And together they were great. Do I think that they could have material that showcased some of their comedic chops a little bit better and some of their zest? I do wonder if we have more to see from them.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's all.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Fair. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice little lark. I think that Ashley is one of the better co-leads with Paul that he's had. Some of them, I felt like he was better. He was much better than some of the people that he's been signed with, I guess. But her and Rachel Boston this year have been really good matches for him. And obviously Kimberly Sosa last year. So they've been doing pretty good. But she's one of my favorites with him and the chemistry. Like you said, I did die laughing because I was live tweeting this one just because I felt like it. And when they show their friend at the hospital, and the hospital, it's like not even his room. It's like the emergency room part. And it has a fully decorated Christmas tree, a big setting of plant, and he has a Christmas throw on. And yeah. I had a laugh. I'm like, it's more festive than my house.
Most hospitals these days like won't even let you bring in flowers right. because they're like an allergy risk for patients. Yeah. So right. I was like, HIPAA's got, you know, or whoever's in charge of this has problems, you know. This hospital's going down.
If you find yourself in a hospital that won't let you bring in a full Christmas tree, you demand to be moved to another hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, but and, I agree. I was like, wow, I need them to come and do my house.
Well, and isn't most like knee surgery, like basically outpatient?
Yeah.
Go in.
You have and surgery. I think it's even like a lot of times it's like a twilight anesthesia. It's not even, you know, all the way. Yeah. My husband, who's had knee troubles, turned to me and he said, you can live without an ACL for like a year. So I think, you know, you have to wonder what the real motives of this dad was. He burned out? Was he matchmaking?
Well, I mean, if you look
at his house. Was he in Honduras?
So his house, this was for a single hot widower. This house was so decorated.
Yep. Like,
I always die laughing when the cabinets, when they have in the kitchen, there is garland on the cabinets. I don't know anybody in the history of the world who has garland on their kitchen cabinets.
I was watching right before Christmas and Chad Michael Murray's character had a bow on every cabinet knob. And I just could not see his character tying those bows up there.
I mean, this house had so much decoration and I'm like, okay, I can understand why he fell and hurt himself badly doing all this by himself. And it was pretty funny. And I start to, this happened last year and it's happened way earlier than last year, but last year I reached a point where I just had like garland overload. And it the garland, because I mean, you have these houses and every inch of every piece of molding in the house is covered in garland.
Yeah.
It brings up a pet peeve for me in this, which was, you know, there was a lot of Balsam Hill advertising and I'm fine. I'm fine with that, except that there was a commercial before they do the big reveal on what the ballroom actually looks like. They had several Balsam Hill ads that showed that room and ruined the reveal. Yeah.
I just fast forward the ad, so I didn't see that.
Yeah. It was like,
that's funny.
You saw her working on it, so you knew, you recognized the, you know, elements of it, and they were like brought to you by Balsam Hill and they showed the whole room.
Yeah. So, but you know, besides the fact there's a few elements to the story that kind of stretch, you know, believability if it would happen or if it should happen. It was really cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no. It was really cute. The little girl was darling.
Yeah. I mean, we poked fun, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a great addition to the Hallmark collection this year.
Yeah.
In terms of not having any major complaints besides some of the details, you know, mm-hmm. but that's neither here nor there. It was
Hallmark usually is more subtle than that as far as their product placement. Lifetime is terrible. They'll like sit people down at the computer and be like, hey, you can make a website using Wix.com. It'll be perfect for all your problems. It's bad.
I don't mind it, you know, that it's what has to be done in this age, but just don't ruin the story for me in the process.
Yeah.
I mean, we have ads, as people have heard, so we get it. But it was kind of funny, but I think the other thing that's funny to me as a single woman, I'm still waiting for that, for my meet cute car accident.
You need a reindeer that arranges car accidents.
I know. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Glamour Jewelry Box, and right now you can save $5 on your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and use code Hallmarkies during checkout. It's really cool what Glamour Jewelry Box does, and the thing that I think can really help is if you have the right accessories. And with Glamour Jewelry Box, you get sent every month a necklace, a bracelet, and a pair of earrings. And they really try to be trendy, but not like weird trendy. And so it's something that not everybody else would be wearing. It'll be something unique, but also tasteful and classy and beautiful. And so it's really a nice service that you can have. And who doesn't like getting fun stuff in the mail? So it would make a great gift. You can get $5 off your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and use code Hallmarkies. All these Hallmark movies, they're always getting into these fender benders and, oh, oops.
That was another issue, is they kept talking about how slick the roads were, and I believed them. until they showed the road and it was like bone dry. And I'm like, should have shown us that road.
What did you think of the triple H gene?
Well, you know we got it, Rachel.
Yeah.
You know we got it. I don't have it.
I think I've earned it.
23andMe says no.
There were some cute lines. That was a darling line. Again, her saying I love you by accident on the phone and just that face. Nobody does enthusiasm and embarrassment as well as Ashley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She nailed it.
I think what worked for me about this movie is that the core concept is very simple. It's just basically these two people that we like spending Christmas time with this little girl. And that's it. That's basically it. And so I thought that was like all the other stuff that like whatever convoluted reason they had to get them there. I was willing to forgive almost all of that because that core concept of we're going to celebrate Christmas together was cute. It's pretty simple to me. It is totally true that when I saw that she has her own horse, I'm like, they would have childcare. A single father.
Didn't even mention the horse in the hospital. And when they first showed the horse, I was like, who has been feeding this horse?
That's true. And so, but I'm a sucker for any time there's like dancing in one of these movies. And even like, I loved it in the Picture Perfect Christmas. And I was listening to my friends over at All the Feels podcast and they pointed out how completely ridiculous that scene was. And I was like, oh yeah, it really was. But I liked it. I did. it is true that people don't like slow dance to Silent Night or Babes in Toyland or whatever.
True.
I thought the dance was organic in this though, because it starts out with a silly dance with the little girl and then kind of evolves.
Because it was like rocking around the Christmas tree, I think. So that's a little more natural than like, we're gonna slow dance to Oh Holy Night. Like what? So weird. I really thought that was cute when he dips her. I liked that.
It was darling.
And then the upside down snowman, that was the best.
That was good.
That was so really good. And if people have listened to the podcast, they probably know that I love to swim. And so Humphrey, the swimming reindeer, was my fave. I
need to know, is this a real book? Because I read a lot of picture books to my children over the years. And one of them was like, oh yeah, I've read that, but I'm pretty sure she hasn't. I want to read it and I will be looking it up. So
if anybody can find me that book, even if you work in props and you have it, please send it to me.
We want Humphrey, free Humphrey.
Yeah, it will be my favorite thing to ever exist because I just thought that was great. That was really funny. There should be Humphrey, the swimming reindeer.
Yes.
It should happen. Also, how did you feel about her boyfriend Steve the pecan pie?
Let me see if I can find my notes on that. Steve the pecan pie needs a sequel. That's what I put down. that was funny. I'd be very curious to know how much is ad lib, how much was written, but those were the kind of fun lines that I expect for this duo.
Yeah. I was like, amazing Paul Campbell beat out Steve.
Does Paul Campbell have an ooey gooey center and a delicious buttery crust?
Probably.
You'll never know.
I think he probably has an ooey gooey center. I don't know about the crust, but that was hilarious. That made me laugh. And I think it was Dory from All the Feels who says on Twitter, she's like, I'm gonna have several dates with Steve. This Christmas. I'm like, yeah, that's true. That made me laugh. I thought it was, I mean, it was sweet, but I also thought it was so strange that they're delivering the cookies to the neighbors, and it was like it felt like a Sesame Street skit thing about knock knock, here's a person of color in the community, here's your cookies, knock knock.
Yeah, I did like the little bit of Spanish, but yeah, I did kind of start to feel a little bit,
So like, are you gonna knock knock a on it, like a Jewish maybe, family but... next, and then we're gonna do a Chinese family?
Yeah,
it was sort of hilarious.
I did love that the teacher said, you know, this one's your cookie. Yeah. And this one's yours, Ben. That was pretty good.
That was good. I loved when, first of all, so they're looking at this wedding album, which is the largest album I have ever seen in my life. It was huge. And they're looking in, and they had an exorbitantly large numbers of pictures of just like random bridesmaids slash groomsmen. But they're looking at these pictures, and she gets like a tear slash glitter on her whatever, and he does this little like tear wipe. That was that spoke to me.
There needs to be more touch. As writers, we're always thinking about what are those elements that really give you the feeling without being, you know, PG-13, and just a touch, you know, not an attempted kiss even, but just a touch. Oh, it can really just give you the butterflies.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm trying to remember which one that I felt like did such a good job at that. When you just have these little moments where maybe their hand touches, by the time they do get together, you're just primed for these two people to fall in love. That's so true. And it just really helps to build the romantic tension, I think.
Yeah, the yearning.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that was so cute, that little tear wipe moment. It's good. And I did think that because some of the costuming this season of Hallmark movies has been a little weird for me. Like, I don't know, some black dresses where I'm just like, what is going on? Also, I'll never forget the most horrible dress I've ever seen in Merry Christmas Match.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
It was the worst. And so some of the costuming is just like, what is happening? But I thought they did a great job in this movie. I thought Ashley Williams looked beautiful. The red dress was appropriately beautiful and Christmassy. That necklace she had on was beautiful.
I agree, except for the red culotte pants. I wasn't such a fan of in the beginning.
That's true.
And there've been a few occasions of underdressed, whether inappropriate clothing. Mm-hmm. This was a little more in line, which, you know, I do want you to at least try to pretend it's not August. So there was, you know, I was at Marian Bright set in Chicago, and she's kind of, having lived in Illinois, I'm just like, no, you're going to die. True.
Well, she wore a black dress in that as well.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, what is going on?
But we have two needs, Hallmark, and red dresses are one of them.
Like, I will accept as passable. Red, of course, red and green. You can do blue. You can do metallics.
Yeah.
But not black. Yeah, no, black. So I thought she looked really pretty. And so what did you think of the final, I guess it got spoiled for you by the Balsam Hill ad, but the final reveal of the Winter Wonderland, what did you think? Did you think it was...
I thought it looked like a Balsam Hill ad myself. I thought it was beautiful, but that it didn't quite meet the payoff I was looking for with her, you know, vision that she had had. But that said, it looked absolutely lovely. And there was a point at which she's still working on it and the trees are in the room, but they're not set up yet. And Paul Campbell and Lily, the little girl, come and bring her some like cocoa or something. And it almost looks like they're actually walking through a Christmas tree lot, you know, as they like edge through those trees. I actually like that moment.
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful, but practicality might have been low. It was kind of crowded, but it did give a stunning effect. But I did worry, you know, like if you're really trying to pursue this career and you don't know, or nobody's even giving you any ideas for a theme, you're not tossing any out. It was stressful for me.
I mean, I would think that Winter Wonderland would come up pretty quickly in the brainstorming session if I was trying to think of a party theme. So it's kind of funny.
There was no brainstorming here. It didn't sound like.
I've been so many years in Winter Wonderland, like people are tired of it, at least in the elementary age. they like it.
What did you think of the decor, Rachel?
I mean, the biggest thing, I guess, I thought from, I did think it was pretty, but I thought that it was, that it was not practical at all. So that was a little distracting for me. There probably could fit, I was like, a lot of trees, but not very many humans in there. Like, what, four or five couples could dance in there? It was pretty tight.
And there was no seating, and I'm not a big fan of that. You know, it was all standing tables and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The lights were on point, but agreed. And it looked so similar to so many ice skating rinks. How they've kind of positioned the trees and things. I it didn't really give me the sense they were in a large, you know, ballroom or anything.
And was it this movie, or am I confusing it with the Blue Ridge Mountain Christmas, where she actually told her sister she needed to order the chairs from, like, the chair rental place? But there were no chairs.
Yeah, that's true.
It happened.
The other thing that was a tiny bit awkward about this movie is that it felt like, oh, they're building this family, and she was like, the little girl is drawing pictures of the two of them, and then her. It's like, this is not your family. It's a little like, you would believe at the end, if her dad wasn't there, that they ended up like adopting her or something. But like, there was a tiny bit of awkwardness there. But but overall, I kind of liked how they handled the conflict for me. Mm-hmm. I felt like both of their careers were kind of taken seriously by the script, which I always appreciate. And I liked the fact that he kind of realizes that he doesn't have to do what his dad did, that he can still be a good person. And I think he'd kind of pigeon himself that he's got to go and be this international philanthropist in order to, you know, have a life that's important. And sort of him realizing that there's other ways to be important, I thought was nice. And so I liked that the script never kind of forced her to abandon her dreams and her job and her, because I can't even remember the name, but there's one with Sarah Lancaster and Brandon Penny, and that's pretty good. But I didn't like the ending of that one, because she finally gets her part in the Broadway show, which has been her dream, and then she ends up coming back because she's fallen in love and she's gonna teach the kids or whatever. Which it's like, why couldn't have she done both? Why couldn't she have gone and done her dream? Because it's not like a Broadway show goes on forever. Yeah, like, go and do your dream and then come back. And so I hate that when that happens in these kind of movies. And so this, I think, is much more satisfying kind of dynamic for me, in my at least what I prefer.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And they're doing that better kind of throughout this season. We've seen a little bit more of that, less of abandoning the career, picture perfect Christmas, you know, similar thing. Hey, come along with me, instead of abandoning the plan, a few logistics of, I don't know how this is going to work, but we're going to make it all work. And that's important. You know, there's a lot of complaints from people who don't take these movies seriously because of things like that. So I like that we're veering towards that. And I have to say, personally, what I really liked about this movie is that it would have been an easy choice to end it at the party with a kiss and I'll go with you. And there were like 10 more minutes after that were really deep. You know, the movie took a turn from kind of the cute activities with the kid to, you know, talking about purpose in life, the father-son connection, her talking about her decisions with her family. And I'm like, you know, it really added a depth that kind of made me go, okay, it surprised me, and it was a strong finish.
Yeah, I think so too. And overall, I really did enjoy it. I thought it had a good ending. And so, yeah, I mean, I probably give this one, because of all the cute moments, the chemistry, the nice ending, I think I'd give it like a 4 out of 5 crowns. I mean, there were little things that were sort of funny and convoluted and silly, but for the most part, I really enjoyed it. So what about you, Jean? What do you think? I know your expectations were very high.
I'm going to give it, I mean, obviously these scores are somewhat arbitrary for those of us who aren't keeping a running tally like you, but I'm going to give it a 3.25.
Yeah, I think that's fair. What do you think, Laura?
Probably 3.75. The leads are just too likable. And like you said, there were a lot of like cute, charming moments, but I don't know. I'm ready to write the mystery series between with Ashley and Paul starring.
That would be so good.
Because I guess that's what it was. It just, my mind was getting distracted by their chemistry and daydreaming about other possibilities.
They would be really fun. And plus it gets a bump for Humphrey, the swimming reindeer, for sure. And Steve, the pie. Yes.
Merman and the horse and the magical car crash reindeer. There's like a whole cast.
Don't forget the stethoscope pancakes.
Yeah.
We could go on and on.
I forgot about that. That was in this movie, huh? I was thinking that was in another movie. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I mean, I guess at least it wasn't a man with many jobs. Like you have in most of these Hallmark movies. Small town man. He was a doctor. So we'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are Skylight Frame. And right now is a special holiday offer. You can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. So not Hallmarkies, Hallmark for this one. And you'll get the $10 off and you go to Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, code Hallmark. And this is really cool. I mean, we've had digital frames around for many years, but I've never seen one like this where you can upload everything completely digitally. And what's really cool is that people can email photos directly to your frame. So you could be looking at your frame and surprise picture from a relative or a member of your family or anybody who wants to send you a photo. And that would be such a fun surprise. It just looks classy. It's really nice. They have 100% satisfaction guarantee. And so I think you'll really enjoy it as a family. Right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame if you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. And so that's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code Hallmark. Okay, so we're going to talk about Christmas at Graceland, Home for the Holidays. And what was your feeling about the first Christmas at Graceland? What about you, Jenny?
Ooh. Putting me on the hot seat. It's something that when I saw it originally, I did not like it. Uh-huh. I still call it Christmas at Graceland today because that's how Kelly pronounces Graceland. I wasn't that big of a fan, but then I liked the wedding one better.
Yeah.
And then in reviewing, and this happens so often for me with Hallmark movies, you know, in reviewing Christmas at Graceland in you know, like reruns this season, I've liked it better just because I know what to expect. My expectations are managed, you know? Mm-hmm. But when I first saw it, it wasn't my favorite.
Right. Laura, what about you?
Yeah. I have to admit it was one of those that I just, when there were a lot of movies on my DVR, I let myself pass over it because I'd already been hearing feedback and I knew it wasn't a fan favorite, even though it did quite well for
Hallmark. Yeah, number one.
The best one.
Last year.
Crossover with Elvis fans. But I did watch it all the way through eventually. And I've seen it again a second time and it's in the middle for me. It's not a train wreck by any means. I was nervous to see the sequel. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. So I thought it was fine. I didn't hate it like most people seem to. I thought that Wes Brown was swoon worthy enough. And I like Kelly Pickler as far as her singing. I could have used her singing more songs than just Silent Night 9 times. But I think she has a nice voice. And I mean, at the beginning, I was thinking, in watching this one, I was thinking, this is way worse. Because I just felt like, I feel like the one last year was at least felt like a Graceland movie. You know, where like it's all about singers and music and and Graceland. This, to start, I was very down on it. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be one of the worst of the year. Because I just felt like there was no Graceland. I'm thinking, is that tiny little bit of Priscilla and the kids getting like little tour? Is that all we're going to get in this movie? The whole thing seemed to be for the first at least 30 minutes was just them inside this dude's house. And I was like, what? And also, I felt like these kids are not nearly bratty enough to do the desperate for a nanny, you know, hot widower needs nanny for his dysfunctional children's story arc. And I'm like, these kids are delightful. What's wrong? And so it was just not working for me to begin with at all. And but once they actually started dating, I thought it kind of started to win me over. I thought it, all of a sudden it became really cute. And so, and I still think that the first one still feels way more like a Graceland movie. I mean, I've never been to Graceland, but it just felt more, I don't know. It felt more like it was part of the story actually than this, where it just felt kind of window dressing, and minimal window dressing. But anyway, yeah, so it did end up winning me over to this movie. And I don't know which one I would say I like more or less, because it was just very different experiences for me watching them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I thought that, because when you look at other movies like October Kiss, for instance, like that movie, the kids are way harder and way more conflicted, and she has to do way more to kind of win them over. These kids were really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so, they were. I did appreciate that. I appreciated that there were three kids. I have three kids, but on top of that, it's just, we all so often see the only child. Mm-hmm. And you got a better sense that he was in over his head, you know, when you have three kids with different activities and the counters. That part felt very authentic. So out of the gate, I thought, I wasn't expecting this as a plot point, but it's working for me, because he looks like a frazzled dad. Mm-hmm. And I get why he's becoming very intense about his scheduling, you know?
Yeah.
But they were cute. Yeah. They weren't rascals.
No. I did think it was funny at the very beginning when she's like, "Dad, you put turkey on my PB&J again." I'm thinking, he's done this multiple times. Like, what? What is happening? That made me laugh. For me, it really turned around once they go on that first date. Mm-hmm. I think it's to a company thing or whatever. And I don't know. I just thought it started to get, I love when they include dating in these Hallmark movies, because a lot of times they sort of skip over that part because they're friends from high school or they're whatever, and they don't really have a good date. This had two good dates, which I appreciated. And what did you think of the two leads, Ady Grenier and what's her name?
Caitlin Doubleday.
Yeah. What did you think of Adrian Grenier and Caitlin Doubleday?
You want to go first?
Well, I mean, first up, I got to tell you that I remember Adrian from way back in the Drive Me Crazy 90s movie, and I felt very good feelings for him back then as a teenager. I thought he was super cute and charming. So I kind of went in with that, hey, how is he now? I didn't really follow Entourage that much. So I was curious. I think he did a good job. I'm afraid he's grown to look a little bit like my uncle in the year since, and that was a little bit off-putting for me. So that was a bummer, but I was shocked, you know, he was so different than his character on the show on Entourage, and he really seemed like a real dad. I do think it was a big missed opportunity for him to have his hair in a pompadour as an ode to Elvis, because he has like amazing hair, but they went with kind of more of a Ken doll.
Yeah, that's a very good
point. They were cute together. She was great. I mean, the acting was really fluid. It was natural. It didn't feel wooden at all. So that part right away, I took notice, you know, like it caught me off guard, because my expectations were maybe a little lower.
Yeah. I had pretty low expectations, because he did this movie with Amy Smart called Love at First Glance, which was so disappointing. I did not like it at all. For Hallmark. So this is a definite step up in my opinion. What about you, Jen? What do you think?
I was so not excited about this at all. And his casting was part of it, because I just associate him with kind of like either jerk or too laid back characters. And I have to give him credit. Like, I never once thought of any of those other characters he's played when I was watching this. You know, I really did believe that this was this, you know, like widower dad who was a little overwhelmed and trying to move his business forward as well. I liked both of them. And again, it's maybe, you know, I'm giving them more credit because I had such low expectations. And then I was like so pleasantly surprised. I think that that, you know, how you come into it and then what you get has so much effect on how good or bad you think a particular movie and a particular Hallmark one is. But I liked them. And I really liked the overall like look of the movie too. It was a little bit different. Even the Christmas decor was a little bit different and it was just kind of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, you get burnout from the same decorations over and over again. And
it's not
like the movie's all about decorations, but I appreciated that it was something new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think they had a nice chemistry together. And I think that this Caitlin Doubleday, I think she's a good fit. I think she'll do well if she wants to do more of these. I thought that she was nice, I think. And I really liked her and her sister.
Yeah.
I thought they really felt like sisters. They did a nice job with that casting, I think. And I loved the little scene when they get back from their first date and the kids have set up the cookie, you know, station, whatever for them. And then you see the kids just like peering out 1, 2, 3 on the that corner. That was really cute. I thought, I really thought that that whole scene with decorating the Graceland tree with Priscilla, that was really good. I thought, because I wasn't even expecting to see her again. Mm-hmm. I thought that was all we were going to get is the very beginning. But, you know, putting the tinsel all over the Graceland tree and seeing those ornaments and stuff, I thought that was really well done.
It was really charming. There was a lot of Sound of Music vibes here in a good way, you know, of her really kind of winning over the kids. And instead of maybe making them, you know, be more disciplined, she's helping them loosen up a little after being under dad's schedule and thumb. And mm-hmm. they were really cute, you know, the dynamic between her and the kids and then between all of them all together, it was sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think they should have made it more difficult. Uh-huh. Like mm-hmm. more, like it wasn't.
Retention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved that. And then when he asked her on a date to go to the party, that was really cute because he's doing one party that's like his product launch, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
It's like a product launch / charity type thing. Yeah. Was my take.
Well, the product is charity, right? Because he's getting it for free.
Right.
And he's waiting for somebody to kind of invest in his philanthropic endeavor. Is that right?
Yeah.
It was a little unclear. Like when they combined the two parties, part of me went like, how? But I do think you're correct. I do think that his business was focused on charity and on giving. So
the fact that none of us can really say for sure, and it was just on last night, maybe it's not us.
Basically, it's some kind of MacGuffin thing, some magic app like they have on Hallmark movies. Yeah, and then she was helping with Graceland events because she'd worked there in the past and they just like her. Like she's best, but she's trying to get this job in London. I mean, that was another thing that was a little bit kind of a little hard to believe that she would take on this very time intensive job as a nanny.
Agreed. Why is she doing this? And you know, in Hallmark, it's almost become gauche to mention money. You know, we don't know what her financial situation is now that she's jobs and has no house and things like that. But I just thought, why on earth would she do this? And right around the holidays when she's supposed to be spending time with her own nieces and her mm-hmm. family, that part didn't make sense to me. And I also took issue with the fact that they showed her sister's house, which like looked like a huge house, you know,
right?
in true Southern fashion, and yet apparently there's only 3 bedrooms there, you know.
Supposed to sleep on the floor. I mean, on the sofa.
And like, if you had to sleep on the sofa, would that be your first, you know, plan B is to go get a job as a nanny somewhere so you can stay in the guest house? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what he was giving to her was that he, because the person at the Graceland thing or whatever was like, you guys could help each other out. And I'm thinking, what is she getting from the, I'm confused. Yeah. Like, why doesn't she just enjoy Christmas? But
a bed.
A bed. That's right. That's what she was getting.
We've had a lot of accidental seasonal work this season on Hallmark, you know, oh, now I'm at a tree lot for the Christmas season, and a couple of accidental nannies as well. And, you know, it works. It sets up a really cute story, but because we've seen it a few times, you do start to be like, well, I mean, can you not just rest over the break, you know, and
even Christmas Hearts is an accidental nanny, you know, situation.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. I guess nobody had to get injured in this one,
but, that's
but yeah, so the party, and she gets the idea just days before, cause they need a new, you're right. Cause they, what was the other one that they, it was the holiday for heroes.
Yeah.
Where they're like, sorry, you can't have your hero army benefit here anymore. You're kicked out.
It's a corporate party here, people. Priority.
Yeah.
That's not a nightmare at all.
Yeah. And I loved in that movie how, because I wasn't on that episode of the podcast, but loved in that movie how they're like, we have the eggnog competition and the, I can't remember all of them. There were like four different activities. And they're like, sorry, we don't have enough in the budget for the soldier benefit. Like, what is this mayor thinking? Like, that would be very high up on my list of priorities, to have the soldier benefit over the eggnog competition.
Crazy.
But anyway, and so they get the idea that they're going to combine the benefit for the art museum, part of Graceland, with this product party. And they have this, there's some kind of music that is coming, but they end up getting stormed out. Yeah. But then Chase Bryant ends up showing up. I was a little confused.
And they didn't really say, well, you know, the minute they say the singer's not coming, I mean, anyone who's seen any Hallmark movies knows what's going to happen, right?
Or any movie.
But this was slightly different because, yes, they did sing. The family sang, which was cute. But then all of a sudden it's like, big star here. Like, I mean, I guess they just figure, well, it's Graceland. So
And so was he the act that was late, or did they have that big star there the whole time and still put the family on first?
That's what I was wondering. I was confused.
But maybe Chase was like, I'll do it. And everyone's like, no, these guys need a love connection. Let them go on. I'll wait.
Yeah. But it was cute. I like the fact that they just kept it really like amateur as far as the singing of the family. You know, they didn't try to make it, just felt like it made it feel more old fashioned.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Although there were some times when prior to the party performance, when they were just gathered around the piano, that I'm like, these kids sing like kids bop. It was like a little overproduced, you know?
But at least
it wasn't Silent Night.
Night nine times.
Yeah, it was different songs.
And they used more of Elvis's catalog in the background. So while the story seemed to have very little to do with Graceland, I did feel like they had access to more than Blue Christmas this time around. And that was nice.
That was nice. And I don't know, by the end, I was pulling for her to not take the job, which is in reality is ridiculous. And they've just barely started dating. So why would they do that? But I don't know. It won me over by the end. I did like Chase Bryant's song because I like him as a singer. And she makes her choice what she's going to do. I mean, and it did make sense in a lot of ways because her sister's there, her family's there. She obviously has all these connections at Graceland, and so she can have a good job there. I mean, she was really kind of running away when she went to Europe, and so just find another job. But I don't know. It won me, like I said, it won me over by the end when I really thought, oh, this is going to be rough. At first. So I would give it 3.25 crowns.
I would give it 3.75.
Yeah, I'd probably give it 3.75. Kind of the same same thing where certain things really worked for me, exceeded my expectations, but then in other ways, I had a few questions.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right. So we asked our Twitter what people thought of the two films. And so got some responses. Hotline to Hallmark says, I enjoyed Holiday Hearts and was annoyed when the friend left the hospital and came home, ending the fun that everyone was having. Smiley face. Christmas at Graceland 2 was not bad, but it took too long for the romance to develop and the two leads to fall for each other. Then Waiting in the Pumpkin Patch says, I thought both movies were pleasant to watch. Paul and Ashley did a great job. I'd like to see them pair together again in a madcap comedy. I think they'd be great in that. I liked the family dynamics in Christmas in Graceland too. So Lauren Eagle says, I liked Holiday Hearts. It was fun to see Paul Campbell play a more serious character. We'd like to see him and Ashley together again. Graceland was better than I thought it would be. The family dynamics were fun. And Kate 60456 says, Holiday Hearts felt just right to me, but maybe it was just right because I am a big fan of Ashley and Paul, and I couldn't see any of the negatives of the movie. I enjoyed the little jokes woven in the movie. I felt they genuinely liked each other during the movie. And then Jane Cootie Hawk says, I loved Holiday Hearts and thought Christmas at Graceland Home for the Holidays was a vast improvement over the previous Graceland movie. So there we go. Some thoughts. And so, yeah, let us know. If you're listening, let us know what you thought in the comments or on Twitter. We'd love to hear for these two movies and maybe where they rank for you in your holiday Hallmark watching. And so this was really fun to talk about these two with you guys. I really appreciate you coming on.
Super fun.
Yes.
Thanks for having us. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So how can people follow you on Twitter and all that fun stuff?
Okay. Well, we're on Twitter at Sander Sisters. You can find us there. And I handle most of that. And Ginny does our representation. And we have lots of projects that people can reach out to us, seasonal fair, like for Hallmark or for streaming.
Great. Great. We'll definitely have all that link in the description section. You guys should definitely check that out. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. I have my Frozen 2 review at over on my channel. You should check out because it's pretty fun. A lot of other good content. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that as well. Like I said, we have tons of stuff coming up this week. It's going to be pretty exciting, including tomorrow we have our interview with Wes Brown from the first Christmas at Graceland. So it's going to be really fun. So check that out and consider becoming a patron of the channel. We sure appreciate all of our patrons. There'll be a link in the description. We have giveaways, exclusives, lots of fun stuff. And we also have our merch store with exclusive holiday designs from artist Jessica Miller. And so we're really proud if you have a hearty, a Hallmarky in your life that you want to get merch inspired by all things Hallmark, check it out. The link will be in the description. It's a great place to go. So thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it. And we will have to talk again soon. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.